it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
On this episode of Big Drive Energy, we are back after a crazy week in the golf world. We got a bunch of hard-hitting topics today. We're going to go over Lexi Thompson's debut at the Shriners Open. Guys relegated off the LIV Tour. Just an absolutely... what's the word I'm looking for here? Just a rude graphic. Like, just the fact that they have to post that. It's just, it's horrible for those guys. But also funny because it's a guy we talk shit about a lot. We're going to go over my superintendent's revenge tournament last Friday, Broken Tee. Shout out to the folks at Broken Tee for putting that on. Incredible event overall. Just, I had a few too many of the high noons and or fireball shots and or a lot of other things. So, I had a good time. Also, we have a LIV player, former LIV player, moving over to Q School for the Korn Ferry Tour. So we've got some waves going back out into the ocean, if you will, or vice versa, whatever you want to call it. Tiger Woods video surfaced of him hitting golf balls. We'll just touch on that. The announcer for the Open Championship, probably the best job in all of golf, has passed away. RIP to him. And we've got five side effects of becoming a golfer. Pretty great topic. I thought of it 3 o'clock this morning, as well as a fairway or four, the ever popular fairway or four. Going to hit you with some topics that you get to decide whether or not we're crazy or you're crazy for thinking that we're thinking that that's crazy. And this is all brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Mitchell's Employer over at Pins and Aces. They launched the app this past weekend and did a full-on like giveaway sale, all this stuff. Got a bunch of orders through the app and gave away some putters, gave away a bunch of other stuff on their social media. I have an unfortunate scenario for my life right now. I need to get all new white Pins and Aces hats. So I fucking put all my hats in the dishwasher. You know, and normally they're fine. They're coming out of the dishwasher. They're clean. All my white hats had some like sweat stains on them. Not, you know, not great. But I need to get all new white Pins and Aces hats because they came out fucking gray. And I thought, oh, they're just wet. Like when they dry, they'll turn white. But another hat that I had in there that was white was like clean and stark white. So I need all new white Pins and Aces hats, and I can get them with a discount of 15% off using the promo code BDE at pinsandaces.com. Check out their app. They always have exclusive sales in the app, and you can use your discount code on just our discount code, if you will, BDE, on anything other than the Liquor Stick 2.0. Unfortunately, Liquor Stick 2.0 is such a great product. It is not under the BDE category. But you can check out the new Pins and Aces app. Download it from the App Store or the Google Store or whatever. If you don't have an iPhone, you're a weirdo. And sorry to all those weirdos out there. But download it from the App Store. Get those exclusive discounts on the app, pinsandaces.com. Use our promo code on the app. And you can use our promo code in the store if you're in Colorado. I had a buddy text me that they let him use our promo code in store. And he was sending me all the stuff he bought. So make sure to check out Pins and Aces. It's on 5280 Ward Road in Arvada. And check them out online, pinsandaces.com. All right, that's enough of me talking. Let's get to the podcast and tee it up.
And hello, friends. Welcome to this tradition unlike any...
Did somebody scream mashed potatoes?
That was mashed.
What's up, dude?
What's up, man? That was just the most long-winded introduction I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I think I'm going to just take the rest of the pod off at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, you basically told everybody exactly what we're going to be talking about throughout the entire podcast. I will say, fire outfit, if you're not on the YouTube, tune into the YouTube. Spencer looks like, is that a Rugrats?
It is.
Okay. So Spencer is channeling his inner small child and dressing up like Rugrats. I will say I was not able to get a word in on that Pins and Aces ad read, but this is the first time I've worn this new Pins hat. And it's not really that new. I think it dropped like this summer, but I think it's the first time I've worn it. Partially because like I don't really have anything to match this color, but I was like, fuck it, I'm wearing a black t-shirt. So I figured I would drop this. But how fire is this hat?
It is so fire that I also own that hat. And yeah. I think I have one shirt, like one outfit that it's mostly black, but has the teal in it. I forget what it is now off the top of my head, but that's when I just dropped that fire teal hat right on my own head. No one else's head, my own head.
Well, yeah. And so actually what I didn't realize, and this is me being an idiot because that's just standard, Pins and Aces has shorts. So I got a bunch of their shorts. And they have like a pair of shorts that are exactly this color and a bunch of like a really cool red color and a bunch of other colors. So now I can like match outfits with hats like this, because I would always be wearing like black pants or, you know, something pretty low key. But now I can wear a little bit more vibrant shorts and let these legs get a little tan. I've actually maintained a pretty good tan on my legs, so I'm happy with myself. That's like the first time ever since I've been a golf pro that I've had tan legs, so I'm pretty pleased with myself. How's everything on the child front? How's Sawyer doing?
He's doing pretty well. We brought him golfing last week. I think we recorded the pod after that. He is not sleeping all that well, which is great. I woke up at 3 this morning and decided I had enough work to do and could go to the gym, so I just stayed up. And I it's always a good idea until like 7 p.m. tonight. And
I'll be like trying to watch that. I thought you were joking when you said you've been actually up since then, because you texted me, and my girlfriend thinks I may be having an affair with somebody, but it's just my brother blowing up my fucking phone in the middle of the night with random dog shit. I guess that's when your brain works the most, because you seem to never text me back during the day, but then you're texting me either at 10 or 11 at night or in the middle of the morning. So I would appreciate if you could stick to business hours. I like to sleep till about 8 a.m. and then I go to bed at about 11 to midnight. So if you could keep it in between there, so that means 6 a.m. to about 10 p.m. for you, that would be ideal.
Well, I see. The problem with you living in New Jersey and being on the East Coast is I get this feeling that you're not a lazy bum and you're like up at a decent hour. So then like when I'm up at a not so decent hour, I can hit you up and then you're awake. But that's never generally the case.
No, I actually don't mind it, because I've been staying up really late to watch sports because all the sports are so fucking late here, which I'm going to get to later in this episode. But I've been staying up till like Monday Night Football was on last night till like midnight. The Avs have been on their West Coast swing, so I've been staying up till 12:30 to watch those games. They fucking start at 10 p.m. here.
No, that's all. Oh yeah. 10 p.m. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm like ready for them to get even back to the Midwest or out here onto the East Coast so I can watch a game at a relatively decent time. But also at the same time, it's nice because Missy goes to sleep and I have some me time, and I just sit there and text my boys about sports and watch sports. So I will say that that is kind of a little nice period of time that I enjoy from like the hours of like 11 till 1 in the morning, where she's asleep, I'm up watching sports and just thoroughly enjoying every second of it. So you can text me then if you want, but then you're like, oh, I have a kid, I got to go to bed and shit. So that's when it's annoying for me.
Well, when I go to bed, dude, like I'm on my phone more than a lot of people. But when I go to bed,
that is a fact.
Yeah. And you know, I hear shit for it all the time, and I don't give anybody else shit for being on their phone a lot. Not anybody. If I'm going 60 down the highway and I need to fire off a tweet, I'm going to fire off a tweet. Okay. That's how it goes.
Jesus. That's not something you should admit to, but go for it.
60 on the highway is slow though. If you really read into that, that was like a self dig because I'm usually in the right lane, just chilling.
Well, I was going to say you drive like, I'm sorry to get off topic here, but the way Spencer drives, he goes as fast through a parking lot as he does on I-25. Like, I'm like, why are you going fucking 60 through Taco Bell's parking lot? But then you're sitting in the right lane of I-25 doing fucking 52, shooting off tweet, like getting your fucking day in order on your foot, like your head's buried in your phone on the right lane of I-25. And then we're flying through a fucking strip mall parking lot, like about to take off into outer space. I'm like, what the fuck is this dude's problem? Like, he has no gauge for fucking speed whatsoever. So that is one of my biggest gripes with Spencer, is just generally his lack of paying attention behind the wheel, which hopefully will not come back to bite him in the ass someday. But then just the speed at which he drives is like unbelievably ass backwards. So I'm sorry, but I just had to put that out there because it is one of my biggest pet peeves about you.
No, that's totally fair, and I can't even deny it. But long, you know, to circle back on my story and put a pin in it, if you will, is I don't get on my phone when I go to bed, because if I do, I'm cooked. Like, I love to fall asleep, and I only get 5 to 6 hours. That's enough for me. But if I get in my bed at 9 o'clock, which is like a general good time for me, which is insane because I'm 29 years old, I get into bed about 9 o'clock, and then my phone has to go on my shelf, and it's done. Like, if I open Twitter for X for 2 seconds, I'm up till 12 every time. It's without fail. I just can't get off of it. So I at least know my limits in the phone category, and I like to turn it off, put it on sleep. I don't see it light up. I don't hear it, nothing. And which actually that kind of like reminds me, I don't think my phone's been on vibrate for like 5 years. I don't ever think my phone vibrates. Like, I think it's just completely off. Is that just me? Or do iPhones not vibrate anymore?
No, they do. I think you're just so used to that feeling. It's like taking a shit for you. Like, you just, not even that, because it happens so much more frequently. It's like breathing for you. Like, your phone's vibrating and you're breathing. Like, that's just how.
Oh my God.
So here's an idea. Maybe you put your phone down when you're with your fucking wife and son and take a minute to enjoy their presence instead of just doing it so you can get some sleep. I understand that sleep's important, but you know, family's also important. So something to keep in mind going forward.
For the record, I went on a walk today, 45-minute walk, no phone. Well, I had my phone. Get home, 43 unread text messages.
So, well, that was mostly from the group shit-talking you for your bad fantasy football loss last night.
Yeah, but that's so, like, so it's like a fucking tidal wave. It just buries me. If I don't look at it for long enough, I'm going to get buried underneath it.
I understand. Well, that's like my girlfriend saying she has all these emails when she wakes up, but all of her fucking stuff on her email list is linked to that email. So she's got like Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm like, that doesn't count as a business email. Like, you don't count your weekly email from Abercrombie as your stack of emails you need to go through. So I think you're just puffing up those numbers a little bit. But I understand, like, not looking at your phone, it causes you anxiety, but at the same time, like, just taking a walk and not looking at your phone. And apparently that's like a trend now that's happening where, like, kids our age are like, here's an idea. You take a walk outside and you don't look at your phone. You don't listen to a podcast, and they act like they just like discovered fire for the first time. Like, it's the most insane fucking thing that they've ever heard in their lives. And it's like, no, that's what like everybody did all the time up until about 10 years ago throughout like the history of the world. So you're not discovering anything new, but it is a nice, relaxing little time period where you can just take a walk, have some quiet. Into a little golf, because I know we've got some topics to touch on. Had to get a little sidetracked, had to see how you're doing. But yeah, let's hop into it now.
All right, we're hopping in both feet first into the golf world. Lexi Thompson, Mitchell's childhood crush. There's a photo out there that we may release on our Instagram at some point of Mitchell total back, like we were, you know, Ralph Lauren polo kids. I've got the fucking logo tattooed on my chest. That's not fake.
We were
so deep into polo. He's got like the backwards polo white, you know, standard hat on. We wore for like 5 years straight was polo t-shirts with the little, you know, horse logo. Hence why I got it tattooed. So I'd always have it on even when I was naked or in the pool. He has this picture of Jesus him and Lexi Christ. Thompson.
Spit it out.
And how old were, well, so that was what, 20, when was the Solheim Cup in Colorado? 2010?
No, it was like 2013.
2013. Okay. So you were 18?
I was a senior in high school. And the crazy thing is, so was Lexi. Like, it felt like she was so much older than me because I was like watching her on TV and shit. But when I took a picture with her, we were like the same age. I was like, yo, is this like, could this be a thing? And then that quickly ended like 5 seconds later when she walked down to the first tee and then I went and stood out in the crowd and watched her. I was like, yeah, this is a pipe dream. But like I said, like she feels so much older because she's been on the golf scene since I think she qualified for the US Open. She was like 12 or 13. So she's been in the game for 15 years and she's not even 30 yet. So, I mean, kudos to her for, you know, keeping her game in that good of shape. And speaking of game in shape, so I know this is where you're getting at. She shot even par for two rounds. I was shocked. I'm just going to be real. I was shocked. She missed the cut by three, but I guarantee you, and I don't want to get into this whole women versus men golfers, cause there's a Twitter army of dudes that think that them being a three handicap from the men's team means that they could compete on the LPGA tour, which is just not a fact whatsoever. Obviously, everyone's fucking stupid. Golf Twitter is stupid. I'll say that for the most part. But the fact that she shot even par, like I guarantee you that would almost equate to a couple of four under rounds on the LPGA tour. So, you know, I think she played very, very well relative to her, you know, and I'm not talking shit, but a lady playing from men's distance, that is a clear disadvantage. So for her to go out and do what she did, I was shocked. Like you said, what did I set the over under at? Like 154 or something like that. Like I think, or 152, like a pair of 76s, I think is what we landed on for the over under there.
Yeah, I think it's one, I think 73,
or was it 148?
No, I think, yeah, we were one in the 140s. But yeah, she, the second day she shot 69, nice. But she hit 12 of 14 fairways and only missed four greens. So put on a clinic out there, and it, you know, obviously the Shriners isn't a overloaded event, but a cut being at four under on the tours is kind of, it's pretty low. Or yeah. Three under, excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah. I was going to say the cut was three under, but I mean, either way for her to, like she was near the cut line. Like she beat probably 40, 45 dudes this week. And she even, like, I will say Lexi for a, and I hate saying it, but for a lady, she hits it a long way. Like she drove the two, I think it was a 296 yard par four. She hit it to like 20 feet with drivers. So there is a lot of, like, she is one of the longer hitters on the LPGA tour. And for that reason, she could compete out there. Like, I don't really think you could put one of the shorter hitters on the LPGA tour and expect them to succeed on the PGA tour simply because your proximity with a five wood in your hand is not going to be as good as your proximity with an eight or nine iron. So that was one of the reasons she was able to succeed. But overall, I mean, she brought her game for, we had discussed last week how bad of a season she's had on the LPGA tour. I think her last top 10 was last November. So the fact that she went out and got pretty close to making a PGA tour cut, I was thoroughly impressed. I was eating my words. And at that point, you should have just been like, let's just let her play the weekend. Like, as long as she's not shooting 82, 83, I think if you're going to give like an LPGA, and I think you should give them the option that, if they want to play all 4 days, just let them play all 4 days. Like, if they miss the cut, obviously they don't get paid. But what do you think about that? Like, just fucking let them keep playing. Because I guarantee you, if she was playing on Saturday, even being, you know, quote unquote, outside the line, not in contention, she would still have a huge crowd following her.
Oh, yeah, for stuff like that. But then it kind of, it's not because, like, it has nothing to do with her being, like, you could throw a random good golfer, Aaron Rodgers, let's say, as an example, as a sponsor's exemption just to get people to your tournament, you know? So I think it kind of muddies the waters a little bit in the terms of, like, a general PGA Tour event. I don't mind her or them playing on Saturday, Sunday, but also then that just, like, it makes the course not as great, you know, because you're cutting half the field. The times are, you know, there's more spread out because there's more the people are playing.
You're being, like, such a fucking square about it.
I'm not being a square. I'm just saying you have to, like, you can't, there's not like a one size fits all rule here that works for everybody.
I understand, but there's only been 7 times in the history of the PGA Tour where a lady has participated in a PGA Tour event. So you just sound like fucking Jay Monahan at this point. Just let the ladies play all 4 days. If the, like, you're getting your money's worth if you're giving somebody a sponsor's exemption and they play all 4 days. So I don't think it's a bad deal, but keep being a stick in the mud. That's fine.
I'm not a stick in the mud. I'm going to pump her tires a little bit. So she's 12th on the LPGA Tour in driving distance at an average of 270. But this week, she averaged 301 off the tee. Now, Las Vegas is a little bit of elevation, so it's not your standard sea-level golf course.
And it's a little more firm.
And it's firm. Yeah. But her longest drive of the week was 316, and her driving average ranked 116th for the week. So that just goes to show you how, like, far she's generally hitting it, and especially for an amateur golfer, like, not anybody on tour, like, how far she hits it. And she's was borderline, you know, last 10 to 15 people in driving distance. But she hit 20 of 28 fairways, which was T13. And she was 81st in strokes gained off of the tee for the week. So kind of middle of the field there.
Okay, well, all I took from that was I wouldn't even be in the top 10 in LPGA driving distance. So that makes me sad. That's definitely an ego hit that I didn't need today, because I guarantee you, well, I guess maybe I would be near the top. It depends on how firm some of the courses are. But out here at sea level, like, a good drive for me is 280. An average drive is probably 270. If it's soft, it's like 260. I'm talking soft conditions, not my swing. But yeah, 270.
Not my body.
Yeah, I mean, my body's soft consistently. Like, there's not two ways about that. But the fact that she's consistently getting it out there at 270, I guarantee you she's hitting it further than 99% of golf Twitter, even though they won't admit it, because they just like lying on Twitter. Also, on that topic real quick, did you see Lou Stagner put out another poll about, like, who thinks they play fast and who thinks they play slow?
I did not catch that, no.
Oh, okay. So only 2% of people voted that they play slow. And so then Lou Stagner takes those results and, like, he goes, okay, I figured it out. All of golf Twitter hits at 300 and none of them play slow. Makes sense. And when you put it in that light, it's like, everybody's fucking lying, because I guarantee you half those people play slow and about 95% of them don't hit it 300 yards or 280. So,
yeah, well, like we talked to Mark Milets last week, Caddy Tales, make sure you check that episode out on our YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. It was a great interview with Mark. He was just a super humble guy with a crazy kind of life story that led into becoming a caddy that kind of changed his, not just like his, it's not really his profession. I mean, it is, but it's more of a change of his entire lifestyle and what he's learned. And that book, he was doing a signed copy release. And so, and he was just like, if you DM'd him. So I DM'd him and Venmo'd him. So we're getting a signed copy, like a specialized signed copy from him. Should be, oh. I think the book's out tomorrow, or when you're listening to this book's out today, October 18th. But we will get a signed copy. And now after getting off that podcast, we talked, and our pipe dream and what we're going to make happen is get to Whistling Straits and have him double bag both of us. We'll make it light for you, Mark. But that would just be like an all encompassing cool thing to do. I'd love to do that.
Yeah. I think that's going to be something that's like got to happen either this spring or summer. I need to get up to Whistling, so you can't hold it over my head that you're just constantly, you've played Whistling Straits and I haven't. Like, I need to get out there too. So,
yeah. Before we get to some of our other hard hitting topics in the golf world for the day, we want to tell you guys about our friends over at Bet365. We hit some bets this week. That's right. We hit some bets. Sound the fucking alarm. We hit the Adam Hadwin each way, which that crushed us because he basically should have won that event. He made a six on a par five. He rinsed one. And it crushed us double because I generally like bet on the player that won it last year if he's in any relative shape or form. Even if he's not, I'm still like, of the three guys on the card, he's usually on there. Shout out to Tom Kim, his second win. He goes back to back. We're seeing that a lot more often. If you're betting on Bet365, look at who won the tournament last year. I guarantee you, a lot of the time, you know, their odds are going to be lower, of course, but they're going to be the guys that are at least contending and give you a shot. Mitch's guy, Adam Hadwin, finished solo second, so we hit that each way bet, as well as Joel Damon finished T7. I had him top seven places. Of course, I couldn't do eight. I just decided to do seven, you know, John Elway. But that still paid out. It still paid out over 2.5 units on that bet. So we hit some bets last week with Bet365. And you guys can too. If you sign up using that code DNVR365, you are getting, excuse me, lost it there. You're getting $365 in bonus bets when you bet just a dollar. Using the code DNVR365 at sign up. Once again, must be 21 plus and physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. You get $10 in bonus bets on Sundays, on NFL Sundays, if you bet 20 or more on a same game parlay. So you can go, you know, two different $10 same game parlays, and then you get a free one if neither of those hit. Or actually you get a free one no matter what. So you get a free $10 bonus bet parlay that you can use, for the Monday night games. You know, you're feeling a little bit in a hole from the Sunday games, the 49ers and the Eagles both losing, which killed everybody. You can get that $10 back in bonus bets, use it on Monday night, take the Cowboys. And we were talking about that game last night. Is there any more untrustworthy teams in the entire NFL than that game last night? And a 1.5-point spread on Bet365. It was just, you had no idea. That game could have been 40-0 either way.
Yeah. I mean, both teams were trying to give it away, and that's why I had to. It was like, who do you not trust less? And so, unfortunately, I had to go with the Cowboys because the Chargers are just the biggest joke of a franchise in the entire NFL. It sounded like they were playing in Dallas last night, but Dallas did end up covering that spread. You said it was 1.5 last night?
It was, yeah. When I looked at it, I don't know what it was at game time, but when I looked at it, it was.
Gotcha. I thought at some point it was like around 3 or something in the Cowboys' favor, but overall, I had to take the Cowboys there, so...
Yeah, it's just a team who you trust less, and I took the home team. I did end up taking the Chargers, but, you know, it's just a chalk one up for another weekend of me losing my sports bets, but I'm getting bonus bets and still running through my bonus bets on Bet365. All right, let's go to, we'll talk a little Liv. We are Liv boys, live and let live. And they posted a graphic, which was just absolutely just so disrespectful. So Liv Golf_League on Instagram. This was posted 2 days ago, which would have been Sunday. And it's just relegated from Liv Golf. And it's like their logo and everything. And then it just has the relegation zone after the round. And we've got Schwan Kim. No, that's not an ice cream truck driver. That's... he was on, I don't even know what, I can't tell by the logos. So we have Schwan Kim. We have Chase Koepka. Kind of shocking. He had one of the more intense moments on the LIV Tour, making a hole in one in Australia, was it?
I think it was Australia. It was Down Under.
Down Under. He made a hole in one. Now he's Down Under from the LIV Golf League. He is
now relegated. He's Down Under on the Asian Tour.
James Piatt. Not shocking. We watched him a little bit at Cedar Ridge and just no game.
Just can't hack it out there on tour.
And number one, top of this list, the guy we discuss every single week, fucking Cam Smith teammate, Jedaiah Morgan. Gone. Cut. No more LIV Tour, pal.
Well, the shocking thing was how Cam was putting that dude on his back all year. Like, Cam is just that good that he invited his, like, fucking Saturday weekend golf buddy to come join the LIV Tour. And he's like, yeah, you'll still make some money. Yeah, Chase Koepka was the most surprising there for me. I didn't realize that he had such a shitty year. And you know that Bryson. You know that Brooks, like, stuck his neck out to, like, get him a shot on the LIV Tour. But I wonder, I don't know what the info is on this, but if you get relegated, are you allowed to, like, leave? Like,
yeah,
are you free and clear to, like, go play where you want?
I believe you are. Well, I would imagine that you, I don't know the specific rules of getting back, like, into PGA Tour stuff, but you have to play Asian Tour LIV qualifying events to get back out, but they can't get back out until 2025 if they are relegated. So they're
put down into the shadow realm. Well, I was just thinking of, like, a sneaky way that, like, say Brooks wanted out of the LIV, like, what if he just tanks it for a whole season and gets relegated and then leaves and goes back to the PGA Tour? Like, that could be something. I could be onto something there.
I do think, though, that there's a period of waiting time before they can actually get back onto the PGA Tour. So let's just hop right into that topic as well. This guy, this joker here. So Monday Q info of Case of the Golf One, one of our favorite follows on Twitter. Just a great follow in general. He said one of the most interesting names at Q School, Turk Pettit, left the Korn Ferry Tour in 2022 to join LIV, but then didn't play LIV in 2023. He will now look to earn a PGA Tour card the right way. Oh, it doesn't say that. He will now look to earn a PGA Tour card and become the first LIV member to do so. He has a little connection to us. Not really, but he won the Colorado Open. So, good player.
So, yeah, I mean, you got to be a fucking stick to win the Colorado Open. That's basically like a Korn Ferry event at that point. He made 100K. Or is it 150 goes to the winner of the Colorado Open? Like, fat purse, biggest state open purse in America. But I was looking it up. He was only guaranteed 120 grand to play LIV. So at that point, it's like, do you really, cause he played college golf at Clemson. Like, he was out on the Korn Ferry Tour. Does 120 grand really move the needle that much for you that you're willing to, like, leave the Korn Ferry and go over and play LIV? Like, I was kind of shocked at that number. But yeah, it looked like the year previous, he had actually qualified for a few PGA Tour events and made like 80 grand on the PGA Tour. So it's really like, why, you know, if LIV was cutting you a check for, you know, $2 million, then I totally understand. But 120 grand, like, I'm not poo-pooing that. It's money's money. But I know that he probably could have made that as a full-time player on the Korn Ferry Tour and even just Monday qualifying into some PGA Tour events. But I also have to say too, what was funny is I looked at the like the LIV order of merit for this year, like when I was looking at who was relegated and shit, and Lee Westwood and Ian Poulter are both, like, they're both exempt from being relegated because they were two of, like, the big names that they brought over in an attempt to, like, bolster LIV. But they're both, like, in the bottom, I think in the bottom, the next five or six worst players out of the 48. And so it just cracks me up because I actually really like Lee Westwood and Ian Poulter, but they go over there, you know, and they're some of the hardest, like, LIV defenders of all the players that joined. and they're fucking playing like dog shit. So I just think it's kind of funny that they're in that position. It's like, well, we see why you went over there now. That makes sense.
Yeah. And what's funny about that too, is they're like, yeah, you're too big of a name though for us to relegate you. So Jedi Morgan, get fucked. Like, you know, these guys are out there just grinding, shooting 78, but they're Lee Westwood, you know, like Lee Westwood's I don't think he's ever won a major, correct? He's like one of the guys, like now he doesn't matter to anyone, that talks about the PGA Tour.
Him and Ian Poulter will go down as probably two of probably the top 10 best of all time to not win a major. So yeah, but they're, like you said, they're just legendary names. Their name carries some weight on the, on both sides of the pond, really. I mean, they both whooped our ass in Ryder Cups. So I get why they don't want to relegate them, but that shit would be so funny to like put your ass on the hot seat. Like nobody's safe. Like go fucking start practicing, 'cause you could be down on the Asian tour next year. That shit would crack me up.
Yeah, fucking hit the range, chief. Well, now I do think this Turk Pettit guy is going to have, he's obviously the first one in the guinea pig, but it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how quickly he can work his way back. And then if he ever can, first of all, but if he does, how quickly that is. And then kind of he's, you know, carving the pathway, essentially. He's leaving the little breadcrumbs behind through the woods to see if he can get back on tour. And I'm not saying he can't do it, but like this isn't like a scenario where a guy that's played on many tour events before and won, you know, like you said, the Westwoods, the guys like that, the Poulters, where he already had a hard road. He tried to take the easier-ish way out. Now he's going to start climbing that hard road back. And maybe if he makes it quickly, it opens the door for a few more guys to do that if they want to. But at the same time, like you were saying, I think it was 120K. That's like you have to play well on the Korn Ferry Tour to make that still. Like, you know, when you look at the payouts, like if he won a tournament, he'd be set. But if you're a guy that's kind of middling around the, you know, making cuts every Korn Ferry Tour event, that's a guaranteed paycheck to play less golf and more of a different environment than it would be to grind it away on the Korn Ferry Tour trying to make that. So I do see where he's coming from.
No, I get it, but you're forgetting that all these guys that come out of like big colleges like Clemson and Florida and all these SEC schools, they've got dudes like, these golf guys were like NIL before NIL existed. Like there's so many of these guys that right when they turned pro, they had these donors like not lining their pockets, but being like, I heard the story of one guy that basically got the rule changed on the PGA Tour to not have Q school go all the way straight to the PGA Tour, any qualifiers, because he won Q school and missed every single cut that season of PGA Tour events that he played in. Like he made $0, but apparently he had a guy, he played at Florida. I forget what his name was, but he had a guy right when he graduated, he goes, here's 250 grand. Go get your career started. So, I mean, if you're not living like high off the hog, 250 grand will last you pretty much 3 years playing full time, almost every week, travel, you name it. So a lot of these kids have sponsorships through connections they've made back at home or in their college town. So those guys are missing out on money that they're probably not getting now because they go, you know, play the live tour. So I'm sure let's just put it this way, him playing at Clemson and succeeding at Clemson, I'm sure he'll have a few people that are willing to front him some money that are backing him to get him back out on the Korn Ferry Tour.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you don't think about that in general. We don't see, you know, athletes make a lot of money on the surface, but they make even more money a lot of the times doing all the commercials that we see. But that doesn't necessarily register in, oh, he signed a 6 year, $60 million deal. He makes $10 million a year. No, he, you know, Mr. Pfizer, Travis Kelce makes a shitload more. He's like every third commercial he's in. So dude probably makes way more. He wants to be the highest paid tight end because he thinks he's the best tight end in the league. And right now it's probably true, but he's making way more money just off of his name than what he is on his NFL salary.
Oh, absolutely. And I will say I have to give them credit because I hate Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes more than just about anybody. Like, I despise them, but their State Farm commercial where Kelce like has to change his last name to Ma'ato is about the fucking funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, I laugh every time I watch it and it makes me hate them even more. When he just like gets up like he's stomping around like an upset like 8-year old, he's like, why do I have to change my name to Ma'ato? Like, that shit just hit for me. So I'm sorry, but I couldn't hate them for that period of time because it was just too goddamn funny. I was like, I hate that I love this so much. Like, I hate that I'm laughing.
Yeah, I'm like past the point of like hating them at this point, I think, because we're just so bad. We're Broncos fans. For those of you that are just tuning in, welcome. Welcome to the fucking show. But yeah, we're just so bad.
We're in literal hell right now, so it doesn't really matter what other teams do.
Exactly. Like, they can just have their flowers, whatever. As long as they win another Super Bowl, I'll be good.
Yeah, agreed.
Let's move to our own golf game a little bit, or mine at least. I just want to talk about the Superintendent's Revenge I played on Friday at Broken Tee. First of all, when I got the email, like the registration email, there was like 8 different beer vendors. So I was like, oh, this will be good. Like, I knew what I was in for. Free Bloody Mary bar to kick the day off. I dressed up as the Joker, which I thought was pretty creative because I had a Jokic jersey on, Joker full suit, the Joker tie, and then my Pins and Aces Joker hat. So I was
Actually, credit to you. That was pretty well done. I saw that, and I saw the Joker jersey was a nice touch. So I appreciated that.
Dude, you give me a costume contest, and I'll go all in. I've been 11 from Stranger Things. I've been a woman multiple times. Like, the costume contest just speaks to me, and I just go all out.
No, I feel you. We were Motley Crue like 4 or 5 years ago, and that shit hit.
That was an incredible job by us, Halloween of 2019, I believe. But no, the Superintendent's Revenge was awesome. There was a quirk on every single hole. They did all 18. I won't go into all 18 because some are a little foggy. But the second hole we played, or third hole we played, we started on 14. Or no, we started on 7. Sorry, started on 14. Yesterday we started on 7, and the ninth hole, that par 5, that's super tight. The hole was actually a black like trough, like a bucket, like a 3-gallon bucket in the bunker. And that's what you had to make it in.
Chip it into it?
Correct. And oh, wow. I did not hit a good drive. I was out of play, in my pocket. But we had a drive in the middle of the fairway about 220 out. And I hit a perfect 6-iron. Because I didn't even hit it in the bunker. I hit it in the grass right next to the bunker. So we had about an 8-foot chip from the grass up high and just had to like dink it into the thing where we could have made eagle. And Max was double bogey, so I guarantee you like a ton of people made 7 on that hole. But I hit the fucking thing. I hit the bucket with my chip. Finally, I hit one from the bunker in. So we made 6 instead of 7. But
I was going to say, did you just aim at the middle of the green? And that's why I almost figured you would have hold it in the fucking bucket in the greenside bunker. If you just would have pretended like the pin was right in the middle of the actual green.
Well, so that is funny because I did say, like, I was like, I'm just going to try to hit this to the fucking middle of the green. And
and you blew it in the fucking.
But I did, for the record, I did take more club. I did take more club than originally planned if I was hitting it from the center of the fairway. So I did take more club, but I left us in literally the perfect spot and we couldn't do it. But you know, it is what it is. They had the first hole. This was one of my best tee shots. By the way, I played Flying Horse yesterday, hit driver about as good as I've ever hit it. With
shout
my new
out PXG.
My new PXG driver, a little shameless plug. But on the first hole at Broken Tee, they had the tees. It was one thing of tees for everybody. And so we played just wherever the tee boxes were. So on the first hole, the tees were up like probably where the whites were. And you had to hit between a straw barrel, like a upright of straw barrels or hay bales. Jesus, hay bear. they had hay bales fuck.
Oh my God. What
pay
is your
bales
deal?
That you had to hit through. And Mitch Carroll fucking plowed one right in the hay bale. It made like the loudest thud. And that fucker was 6 inches deep in the hay bale. Cause it was only about.
He buried it.
Yeah, he buried one, dude. It was literally, it was like 6 feet in front of the teeing ground. And
I saw that and I was actually shocked that you split the uprights.
I split the uprights and carried it on the par four onto the green and it stuck. And we had like 20 feet for eagle.
Wow,
one of the best tee shots of my life. But
scramble
overall,
hero.
I was just the hero of the day. They did have, they had another hole with all the little like flags that you mark electric wire with, or, you know, like you see those where like don't dig here.
Yes.
They had a whole green with probably 150 of those on it. They had a one where you had to swing left-handed if you're right-handed. So that was fun. They had one where there was four pins on the green. And this was also funny because there was four pins on the green. Only one of them was legit, but you couldn't tell from the fairway. Only one of them had an actual golf hole. And I literally hit it, no joke, dead in the middle of all four of them. For eagle. Like, we had 19 feet to one, 17 feet to the other. Luckily, we made the putt to the one that we were going to. But there was one with tires all over the green. It was just an overall great event from Broken Tee. And if you can ever play in a Superintendent's Revenge mixed with a costume contest on Friday the 13th, or just any Friday and Saturday in October, do it, because they're the most fun tournaments to play in. Four person scramble, so it's not, you know, overly, there's not an over amount of pressure on the event, and nobody really cares when anyone shoots. But you can, it's just a fun time, and it just changes the way that golf is played, you know, and it just gives you something different than your regular four person scramble.
Totally. I mean, it sounded like a blast. That was a little bit long-winded, but glad to hear you had a good time. And you're just playing all this golf, and you're just a fucking new dad, and just feel bad for your family.
Oh, fucking Jesus Christ. I get to golf every fucking once in a while.
I'm just messing with you. What else do we need to touch on here?
Let's get to our top five side effects of becoming a golfer. So we're going to come out with a graphic after this podcast. If you're following us on Twitter or Instagram, make sure you see that graphic, vote on it, or comment on it if we miss something. So top five, we're going to go, we collabed on these. I'll start with number five. Loss of productivity at work because you have outdoor meetings, at 4-hour outdoor meetings on a Monday afternoon. It usually causes a loss of productivity or just lack of productivity at work. I played yesterday and had no fucking service, which was kind of nice, but also stressed me the fuck out. I came back with 75 unread emails.
I was also going to mention the fact that you're always on your phone, but I was trying to text you while you were golfing and you had your notifications off. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy now? He's always on the phone when I'm golfing with him, and then he goes and plays with somebody else and the fucking notifications are off. He's really just out there enjoying his time with his boys. Like, I must not mean shit to you, but I already knew that. The lack of productivity at work. I'm actually, luckily for me though, I can just say that I'm going to quote unquote work and like talk to the guy in the pro shop when it's really just me checking in for my round. Like, I have a tee time tomorrow afternoon, so I'm going to be like, yeah, I went and talked to this pro and I'm just going to go golf. So that's, that kind of covers my ass, but a lot of people aren't so lucky.
Are you going to leave a card?
I already dropped a catalog, but I'll leave him a card. Actually, the dude that I've played with out here, I won't drop his name just in case somebody hears about it, but he bought one of those things that moves your mouse around for you, so it looks like you're active on fucking like Google. Because he was like, he goes and plays golf like every Friday and he needs to be quote unquote active on his computer. So he's like, best $15 I ever spent. Like, my mouse is just artificially moving around, while I'm out golfing. So yes, I enjoyed that. Mine, number four, spending money on training aids. Spencer doesn't really do that because he just likes to raw dog it and suck ass at golf. He doesn't use any training aids of any sort. He just,
I think one mean ass.
you just go tongue deep in that ass. You're fucking not. Let's put it this way: for how good you are, you really don't try to be good at all. So I got to give you credit. Like you're as good as you can be for somebody who literally like your mentality is I suck at golf and you never practice. So you're as good as it gets if you're looking for that. But yes, I've spent some money on some training aids in the past. Some work, some don't. And some are just kind of like snake oil, you know, that you see on the in the middle of the night on golf channels. So don't buy that shit.
Well, and also in there, too, we'll put on the graphic, but just clubs, just spending an excessive amount on clubs and training aids in general. And also that bleeds into an excessive amount of time from watching YouTube videos and just watching golf in general, which is normally a Sunday activity on the couch. But yeah, just an excessive amount of time is spent in the golf world once you get immersed in it. Number three, which actually brought up this subject in my head, is horrible tan lines. My thighs are extremely white. My calves are pretty tan. I've got a watch tan that looks like I have never, my wrist has never seen the sun. And I've got a tan line on my arms that just doesn't look good in a cutoff. I just look like a farmer and I've got horrible tan lines everywhere. Some people have the most wretched feet tan lines and like sandal tans that I've ever seen in my life, like golfers.
Yeah.
But I don't have those cause I've, well, nobody ever sees my feet anyways, but I'm a hidden foot person. But the like my tan line on my feet is not like terrible.
You do have some weird ass feet, I will say that.
Oh, that's fucked.
No, I mean I've got weird feet too. My feet are like literal bricks. They're like fucking rectangles. But you do have some, I don't know how to describe it. Your feet are a little, they're not like in the grand scheme of things. I wouldn't like, I'm not into rating feet, but I'd say yours are like a 6 or a 7. They're not like disheveled fucking gross. They're just kind of weird looking. So but yeah, I would prefer you keep those put away as much as possible. One other quick note I will say is if you wear a watch during golf on purpose, you're a douchebag. Oh, like take it off. What's the point of you having it on so you can see all the notifications that you're not looking at? Like you're Bubba Watson at this point. You're fucking just take the watch off, put it on afterwards. There's no sense in wearing a watch during golf.
Fine. That's fair.
Okay. Daydreaming about your swing. I'll see something and like attach my mind to a thought and I'm like, God, I just like, why haven't I used this before? And it really doesn't matter what level of golfer you are. Like you can suck or you can be the best player in the world, but you know, no matter what, like even Scottie Scheffler is standing at the airport, like rehearsing a feeling. Like you just are always thinking about your swing, thinking about how you can make it better. And your mind just gets lost. But you know, I've honestly come to the realization that thinking about your golf swing is one of like the like less harmful things you can do. Like instead of thinking about how stressful your job is or this or that, or paying the bills on time, just think about your golf swing. It helps. I usually think about it when I'm trying to fall asleep. Partially because my golf game is so boring, it puts me to sleep, but partially because I just get my mind wrapped up in something else that's not an actual life problem that I have. So just avoid your problems.
Avoid them at all costs. Number one, if you're not gambling on the golf course or drinking, I don't know what you're doing. Quote from Phil Mickelson, direct from the horse's mouth, but a gambling and drinking addiction is the number one side effect of golf. Be careful. I didn't drink on the course yesterday and I was like extremely proud of it. So that's how you know that was like a top five thing that I've done in the last year where I was like, yeah, that was well done.
I was going to say golf is like a bit of a gateway drug to like gambling, like sports gambling. Like you show me one dude that plays golf and doesn't gamble on sports, I show you a liar. Like everybody that golfs gambles on sports and drinks. And if you don't do those while you're golfing, then you're, like you said, you're flat out not having a good time. So, yeah, that is the number one. I have an issue with both of those things. I just try not to think about it. I think about my golf swing and it helps fix everything in my head.
I love that. All right, before we wrap this pot up with a little quick fairway or four, I want to tell you guys about Burrito Express. It's the best burrito spot in Arizona by far. They got 6 locations all over the state. I go there every single time right after I get off the plane, take the rental car, go right to Burrito Express, make sure my tummy is full with a fantastic steak, potato, and egg burrito. Big breakfast burrito guy. I don't like to make breakfast at home, but I like to go out and get breakfast. It's a weird dynamic I have with my life. But Burrito Express, by far, every time I'm in Arizona, we're there multiple times, usually potentially drunk, potentially still drunk in the morning. See last segment for gambling and drinking addiction. But definitely check out Burrito Express if you're in Arizona. Like I said, 6 locations. They're a local business supporting other ASU athletics and athletes. The Tempe location's fire. It's right down by the campus. Make sure to check it out. As well as Breckenridge Distillery. There's still a few weeks left. They are the official bourbon of the Denver Broncos. If you hashtag Broncos bourbon, you could win 2 tickets to the Breckenridge Whiskey Suite on December 31st for the Chargers game. The Broncos will probably win that game because the Chargers can't be trusted, and who knows what our team's going to look like by December 31st. But you have until December 1st, and then it gets narrowed to 10 favorites. So make sure you enter at www.breckenridgedistillery.com/bourbon-of-denver-broncos/. They also have my favorite, the new Broncos Blizzard. I'm not a huge whiskey guy unless I want to get pissed off and try to fight someone. So I kind of stick to the vodka, and Broncos Blizzard is the best vodka I've ever had. Had a few shots of it with some Olipop, actually, which was a fire combo, a little Olipop root beer with a Broncos Blizzard vodka last week at the tailgate. Probably have a few more of those, but we have all of those at the bar here as well at DNVR. So make sure to check it out. BreckenridgeDistillery.com. It's in all 50 states. So if you don't have, you're not in Colorado and you don't have Breckenridge with you, make sure to order some of their bourbon. It is the best bourbon we've ever had. I just finished up my last Broncos bottle, so I'm going to have to go get another one to stock up my bar at home so I can get pissed off and yell at the TV for no reason and everybody can just stare at me like I'm have some sort of a problem. BreckenridgeDistillery.com. Check it out. All right, fairway or four. I'll start this off because this kind of relates to one of our issues with becoming a golfer, and it's the watch tan that I have. It's bad, but it's weird to me to wear your watch on your right hand. Like, is that a handed thing? Like, if you're right-handed, you wear it on your left. If you're left-handed, you wear it on your right. I don't know. But to me, like, I accidentally wore my watch, bless you, on my right hand the other day because I was trying to get some sun on this left wrist. And I felt like the biggest, it felt so weird. I don't know. Is that just me? Is a watch meant for the left hand or the right hand?
No, I completely agree. I've thought multiple times whenever I see somebody with like a watch on their right hand, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you clearly don't know how to wear a watch. So I totally agree. And also, if you're the kind of person that wears a watch with the face facing like inside, I think you're like, that's pre-crime activity. Either that or you're like a teacher. I feel like every lady teacher I ever had like a leather banded, like skinny leather banded watch, and they always like faced it on the inside of their wrist. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why that just was very specific and like hit for me, but yes, long story short, the watch belongs on the left wrist and nothing but the left wrist.
Yeah, I love it. Four. Fairway. It's a fairway.
Fairway. So I think I may have done this before the Broncos season started, but I just want to circle back and get the vibe of the general fan base. And not even the fan, like, we can all agree. So this is Broncos related. Russell hasn't been the entire problem this year, but I still think he's going to get benched. I tweeted it, and I'm going to retweet it if it happens. I said by week 9, Jared Stidham will be our starting quarterback. So do you think that's any more fairway or four at this point than it was 6-7 weeks ago?
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to get benched because he has not been the problem. The defense has been the worst scoring defense in the NFL. But I don't think it helps.
He's legitimately like playing himself out of a Hall of Fame career at this point.
Right, but I think if, like, the Broncos to succeed want to, I still believe that they want to push for making the playoffs in a potential Super Bowl with Russell Wilson the next couple of years.
I completely disagree.
I think they're kind of tied to his contract and tied to him. I don't know
I think they eat the dead cat money next year and cut his ass.
You never know. I mean, they could go to a full rebuild, but I don't know. I think him being less of the problem makes it a harder decision, but I still think it's four that he gets benched. I still think he's out there because of who he is playing in week 17 in Las Vegas against the Raiders, to be honest.
Okay, let me say this. I don't think he gets benched. I think he has like some sort of mysterious season ending injury. Because like you said, to save face publicly, they won't bench him. But I think it's going to be like, oh, you know, we need to shut it down for the year type of thing. Because yeah. I think it's going to happen. So bookmark that, put a pin in it. We'll circle back in a few weeks because I think we're on track for that.
I love it. I love it. All right. If you're not following us on X, formerly Twitter, or Instagram, follow us on Instagram at Big Drive Energy Pod, on Twitter at Big Drive Energy, on TikTok at Big Drive Energy as well. Make sure you're checking out our pod on the YouTube. You get to see our beautiful faces. I laughed a little too hard today. I had to take a second, take my glasses off, wipe my eyes because Mitchell's just roasting me about my parking lot driving. But we appreciate you all tuning in. Jesus, it's definitely time to be done. Tell a friend or seven. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.